Tom, were you surprised when you were taken out of the game with 6.5 minutes left?
No.
And how are you feeling physically at this point in the season?
I feel great. I feel 100%.
Oh, really?
No injury on being taken out 6:38?
No, I'm not injured.
Chill with the bad talk.
Dale Arnold.
It's worth a Google. Can we Google it?
Rich Keith.
We live in a hell of a sports town. Oh, my. Add in a second bye week in Viola.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
Well, first I will stop listening to Rob Nikovich.
Let's go! On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Comments on the Chris Scheim Open, the fantastic Chris Scheim Open.
Well done.
Chris Scheim's behind the glass today as well, in for Jason Rossi, Dale and Keith, Alex Reamer, Rob Bradford. Good morning, New England, and Merry Christmas. Or Happy Holidays, I'm sorry. When I'm in this chair, it's
the
happy
voice
holidays.
Of the holidays?
Yes, it's 11:16. Gave you the weather.
I'm not the easy thing to do. Alex, did you finish your Christmas shopping?
I barely do any Christmas shopping.
There you go.
But I did. The little I had, I did.
Really?
I did.
Why finish. Don't you do it? Don't you care about people?
Not really.
No. Really?
I'm like, people are
now
like,
that
oh.
You're rich and famous and flush with money. And
I'm sorry, I'm what?
You're rich and famous.
You know how
famous?
Much I make.
I know, you're rich
extract,
and famous.
The
you hit all your bonuses.
There.
It was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a run we had.
Yes.
Wait, fine. Don't get me a gift. I don't care.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Anybody.
I should have gotten you a gift.
You should have. I'm still waiting for my Boom Sauce t-shirt.
Oh, I have some in my car.
That would have been a good gift.
Yeah, that'll be your gift today.
That would have been a good gift.
So when the Ernest Mutt, you know the Ernest Mutt, right?
That's my favorite
There's
kind
different
of
levels of Mutt,
I love
right?
Ernest Mutt.
The Ernest Mutt.
Yes.
Like, I remember at Kirk's parents' funeral, like, Mutt would walk up and he just had his head straight to the ground. Ernest Mutt. Yeah. Mutt, it's okay, man.
We're supposed to be sad, I will be sad
here. We're just talking, but when we were doing the old Mutt and Bradford show, I had a birthday. Mutt brought in a bag of Milk Duds as a gift. I'm like, I appreciate, like, first of all, I'm not going to bring you in anything for your birthday.
That's before the Awaken 180 weight loss.
Oh, my
right?
goodness. The Awaken 180 people, so awesome. Awesome. Can you believe it? A year ago, how fat I was.
Wow. What a year it's been. we'll do a year in Bradford weight loss review in between our James White and Rob Ninkovich spots
yeah.
today.
So I didn't remember what I was saying. Ernest.
Well, I was making a comment off the open.
Oh,
two
yeah.
comments.
Okay.
The drop of me that they play all the time in the mornings, too. You live in a hell of a sports town, folks. That was sarcastic, okay?
Oh, don't be so defensive.
I'm very defensive.
What's wrong with you?
Listen, I'm like Mark James on Twitter.
Go ahead.
I don't work the graveyard shift.
Go ahead.
And the other part is, so we had, was that Devin McCourty ripping
yeah.
Ninkovich in
yes,
the open?
Yes, I was on for that show. The author, very, very okay, highly rated
what's
show.
What's going on there?
Because I said something that, hey, Rob Ninkovich said that it takes a while, or rookies... They hit the rookie wall in the Patriot system because you have to think so much harder.
Right.
And he said, first of all, don't listen to what Rob Ninkovich
And we have
said.
Rob Ninkovich coming up at high noon.
High noon.
Look at that.
I mean, who knows? It could have been in the morning, could have been the afternoon. We're splitting the
minutes. High the noon. So we'll have Ninko perhaps respond to Devin McCourty.
Another scheduling note. I
Please.
Should note, they wanted me to pass this along. On Thursday night from 8 to 12, you're going to have the Texas Bowl, Baylor versus Vanderbilt.
Oh, one of those teams is from Texas, so that's good.
Which would you rather listen to, the Baylor versus Vanderbilt, or what was the other one, the Cheez-It Bowl?
TCU and who are they
TCU
playing?
TCU versus Cal. I'm going to say...
I mean, do I have to pick?
That's a tough one. That
like
is
picking
a tough
your favorite child, right?
It really is.
I'll go the Baylor Bowl.
You know what?
I always root
against
Baylor.
Give me the Horned Frogs. I want TCU. No,
well, I always I like to root against
the
Baylor.
The great thing about this is that normally, we'd be like, who cares? But of course we care, because we're going down to Twin Rivers to bet on all these games.
That's right.
Right?
That's the best way to enjoy the holiday.
There you
Absolutely.
Go.
Ken in Dartmouth, you think the Patriots looked great yesterday? What?
Alex, sometimes you say things I don't know where you're coming from, but, who's the only undefeated team at home this year?
That would be the Patriots, baby.
All right. Who ran for over 260 yards?
The Pats.
Do you really think that Gronk and Brady can dependably be counted on to have a bad day at the office? Both of those picks, by the way, that you point out, were not Brady's fault. One was between Gronk's hands, and the other one...
Oh, that's not
directly...
true. That's not true.
That was It went right between...
Both of them were...
How do you say it's not true?
Well, the first pick...
I'm with you there, Ken. The Gronk pick was not Brady's fault.
The Gronk pick wasn't his fault.
The first pick was a hook. It was a blatant pass interference. He wouldn't even let Burkhead turn around. He had his arm under his armpit. And he hooked him so Burkhead couldn't even turn around, and he picked off the pass as a result. They didn't call it. That was
Burkhead
ridiculous.
Broke the exact opposite way.
No,
it had nothing to do with hooking his arm.
Again, He hooked his arm and trapped him from turning.
Alex, what's your notes?
Did you not watch the game?
Us football guys did note that Rex Burkhead did not cut, the right way.
He cut the wrong way, right? Correct.
He did not cut the wrong way. He wasn't able to cut.
Oh,
he was prevented from cutting. Look at it again.
How do you think Brady looked overall yesterday, Ken?
I'll wait until I get the all 22s.
Actually, all year, he's been a little jittery back there. His feet haven't been. You know, he's been the exact prime example of what you want to see when a quarterback plants his feet, steps into the pass. He hasn't been that guy this year. So I get that, but I'm just saying, you know, they're running the ball fantastically. The defense is playing. Look, they held Pittsburgh to 17 points in Pittsburgh. They played great yesterday. They had almost 500 yards, and they could have easily hit 500
yards. You really think they played great yesterday, Ken? They ran the ball really well, yes, but they did not play great.
That's what you want to see, though, but that's a big step for this team. They've got to get physical. That's an important step.
Okay, Brady had a quarterback rating of 48. He did not play great.
Who?
Brady.
No, of course not. I'm just saying, if him having a bad day at the office is not a concern to me, I'm not worried about Tom Brady, especially.
Have you, Ken? I want to ask you this. Ken? Have you seen Tom Brady play like he did yesterday, ever? And I'm not talking about the numbers.
Yes.
You have?
Seen him play that way. In fact, to add to your point, I've seen him play that way against Baltimore when he was younger. Took him up here and won. I'm not concerned about Baltimore.
So you saw a Tom Brady who wasn't going to take the time to look through his reads. You saw a Tom Brady who didn't want a defender near him. You saw a Tom Brady who was bailing out almost, as Alex Reamer noted on
three
his notes.
Times, three times. Right, three bailouts.
I have never seen that Tom Brady. And you saw a Tom Brady who, correct me if I'm wrong, not one single time tried to pass to a receiver more than 10 yards down the middle of the field.
No, I agree. Look, he dumped the ball without cause. He should have held on to the ball and looked elsewhere, and there was no real pressure on him a couple of times. I'm saying he had a terrible day, but that doesn't concern me enough to think that Baltimore's going to come up here and win.
Thanks, Ken. We call those BBOs, Brady bailouts.
Oh, really?
My new stat, yes.
That's in the notes?
It's,
oh, really?
Introducing it to Pro Football Reference today.
There you go.
BBOs.
They would beat Baltimore. They would beat Baltimore.
Why? What makes you say that?
Because I know football.
Yeah? Did you watch the Ravens beat the Chargers Saturday night?
I did.
Yeah?
That's not how it works in the NFL. If you're a good team, you're a good team. And if you're playing at home, you're a good home team like the Patriots, and you have enough, and I do believe that you aren't going to see the Brady and the Gronk that you saw yesterday probably the rest of the way. Are they going to be as good as you want them to be? Probably not. But they're going to be good enough against a Baltimore team, which Did you see the numbers in your broadcast about Belichick against rookie quarterbacks?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
Hey, what is it, 0-10 now against Belichick?
Right.
Lamar Jackson?
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the Ravens, with that defense, can come in here and beat up the Patriots, hold this offense to...
Buffalo had a good defense.
Yeah.
What were they, number two overall?
Yeah, and the Patriots were held to, what was it, 24 points, right?
Oh, held to 24 points?
And if Robert Foster doesn't lose a ball in the sun... If Logan Thomas catches a ball in the end zone, if Josh Allen throws the ball within the vicinity of his receivers, that is a whole different ball game.
Don't do that. You know football better than that.
What do you mean?
You don't do the if this happens.
I'm just saying,
if that happens,
the Bills,
if this happens,
as crappy as they played on offense yesterday, as bad as Josh Allen played on offense, they were two miscues away from their wide receivers from at least tying that game.
Well, clearly, Belichick took that side of the field because he knew the sun was bad.
He knew it.
That's coaching.
That's what we call next level stuff. If Sony Michel is going to be the Patriots' horse offensively, they will not make a Super Bowl run.
He will never be the horse offensively.
He was yesterday.
Sure. But it's nice to have that alternative. It's like just like in the game in Miami. The game in Miami, which I'll count as a win. All right? Can we count as a win?
No.
Okay, whatever.
Scoreboard, baby.
But if this happened or if that happened...
Well, since the equipment malfunctioned, Brady's been a different guy.
But like you said, if a guy makes a tackle on that play, it's a win.
Well, I will say this. I felt much better about the Patriots after that Dolphins game than I do today after this Bills win.
I agree. I agree with that.
Because that's a game where for the first half, you saw Brady clicking to Gronk, to Edelman. You saw, wow, this offense, here we go. This is a vintage Patriot offense. This team right now, Brady Edelman is working. But outside of that connection, you have nothing going in your passing game.
The Patriots would beat the Ravens. I decree.
But the Ravens almost went into Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs, as I mentioned.
I'm not saying they're a bad team.
They throttled
team.
The Chargers in Los Angeles
I'm not
on Saturday.
A bad team.
But they have a great defense, and that scheme has shut down the Patriots before. And Lamar Jackson, I know, is a rookie, but He's made some nice throws, and now you may not need to score 30 points to beat the Patriots.
To me, and what we haven't talked about, and certainly I didn't hear the morning show talk about, and I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it after the game last night.
We'll get to LeBron's comments momentarily.
No,
as well.
I don't want to.
Coming up next, then college football bowl talk. We're in a national show. We're in Nashville today.
There you go. It's the whole thing that Josh Gordon, you take Josh Gordon out, and the biggest concern, yeah, Brady had a terrible game, but to not even have the option of throwing to a receiver, and I don't know how much of that was Brady. I think a big part of it was Brady, but also we can't discount that maybe some of these guys weren't open.
Right.
So the thing that we heard all week, that Philip Dorsett is going to fill in seamlessly for Josh Gordon, well, that certainly didn't... Even though I understand he blocked downfield very, very well. We heard that.
That's in my notes as well.
There you go.
Great downfield block.
But you go in, you are going to need somebody on the wide receiver side of things that isn't Edelman, that isn't the slot receiver, do something.
The Hogan thing is just so weird. So weird. Especially because he was gelling with Brady his first 2 years here.
Well, it's been that way all year almost.
Yeah.
And everyone thought it was just because Gordon took his reps away from him, took his throws away from him. But yesterday was a perfect opportunity to do this. That, to me, is the biggest concern of yesterday's game.
Mike in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I think yesterday kind of showed that if they had done that against Pittsburgh, they would have won that game, too. I mean, they ran the ball well against Pittsburgh when they actually did it. And right. Part of what's going on right now is this team actually starting to understand what's good for them. And part of that, too, is like Tom's performance. They were mentioning during the game, that always not in rhythm. And this is part of the issue. He has to kind of like, I'm not teaching an old dog new tricks. This is an old dog who needs to remember his old tricks because he used to play more this way when he had Corey Dillon on the team. He's got to get used to throwing the ball 25 times a game as opposed to 45 and feeling like, oh, okay, I'm going to hurry the ball. We're going to be hurrying it up and I'm going to get myself into a nice groove. No, it's going to be hand the ball off a lot. And then when you drop back to pass, put it on target and don't, you know, I mean, it's on him.
But he wasn't putting it on target all that much, Mike. I mean, again, to Edelman, he was, but outside of that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, rhythm, Alex, right? He can't be expecting to get himself into some beautiful rhythm. He just has to be mentally prepared that, you know what, I'm not going to be passing the ball 8 times in a row. It's going to be a lot of running. And a lot of running is exactly what he needs because – when they run the ball a lot, he doesn't get hit, which is kind of flowing right into what you guys are already talking about, where he's shying away from contact. Well, guess what? If you don't want to get hit, Tom, this approach is what's going to save you from a lot of abuse. And you were talking about the bigger picture, too, guys. I really do think that this is like one of these playoffs where there's like 8 teams that have a real legit chance of winning the Super Bowl. There's a lot of parity right now. The teams that got off to a hot start have cooled off in a massive way. And Kansas City is just not the same anymore without Kareem Hunt. They're very
wrong. Oh, no. I don't know if you know this. They're trending in the wrong direction.
But we look at the Chiefs. They're 4 primetime losses, right? They put up 40 points against the Patriots, 51 points against the Rams, 31 points last night. I mean, I'm sorry. The Chiefs looked much better in defeat yesterday than the Patriots did at home against the Bills.
Mike brings up some good points, but the whole idea that they can't pass because they can't protect Brady. You go back to that Miami game, they were passing every single play, and he wasn't being touched.
No.
He wasn't being touched at all. So they can still do this, and I don't know if it's your theory about him collapsing, the cortisone shot wearing off right at the exact moment that play. I don't know, but I do know that it wasn't that long ago that all the things that we're talking about was they were whipping the ball around the field, and he was being protected.
We could have further aggravated that knee injury or MCL tear with the quote-unquote equipment malfunction against the Dolphins.
But one of the other things that isn't going to happen that happened in that Miami game besides the equipment malfunction is Josh Gordon's not going to be on the field.
Right. And which is why Mike says this is the team they have to be in the playoffs, then you're going to have an early postseason exit. Because Sony Michel, I said it, Michel... right, this offense is at its best when Sony Michel is running the football, but I just don't think that's a recipe.
You need a receiver. This is what I'm trying to say. Sony Michel, but you need a receiver to catch the ball.
Go down the field.
It's not Julian Edelman.
And don't give me, oh, the Seahawks turned their season around. They started running the ball. Yes, they did, but guess what? You watched last night, Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, deep. Tyler Lockett, deep. Patriots don't have that. So, yes, the Seahawks turned their season around once they started running the ball with Chris Carson, but They still have a damn good vertical passing game. The Patriots don't have that
at
all.
You know what was baffling, Alex, is that when you had as good a running game as you had yesterday, and you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, and you still aren't able to do play-action passes, that play-action pass that they make a living on. Make a living on. Play-action pass, boom, hit Hogan down the seam. Boom, that's it, right? Or Gronk. And they weren't able to do that once. They didn't even attempt to do it once.
What do we always say? What's the key to being the Patriots? You got to pressure Brady without blitzing him, right? That's what Baltimore did successfully when they've come in here and won in the past. That's why I think they can do it again in the divisional round. And if the season ended today, that's what it would be.
What's the, on your notes, what's the spiciest thing? What's your hottest take? What's like? What's the thing you're like, oh, man, I nailed this. No one else is going to see
we
this.
We got some spicy questions for Trey Flowers.
Oh, you do? Oh, you put out your questions for Trey Flowers? I mean, are you kidding me?
When you're doing a big interview like that, Rob, you have to.
Is that true? Did you really do that?
I have a few notes here, yeah. A few notes.
Wow. You are Dino.
They were giving Josh Allen some different looks, Trey. What were you doing on defense specifically? Glenn is a native. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Couple callers back, I had to disagree with them on the tight end situation. They have plenty of opportunities the last couple of years to draft a tight end. Not saying to find someone comparable to Gronk, but at least compliment him. I think Rob mentioned Dallas Goedert. I think Baltimore drafted
Mark dropping some Andrews. Dallas Goedert knowledge on us today.
Nobody knows Dallas Goedert like me. Yeah,
I mean, the notion, and I think you made a good point about Martell, you know, Dwayne Allen's fine, but the problem is he's a one-dimensional player. They need someone at least who can go out and catch 20 or 30 balls to complement Gronk, but they haven't gone out and done that. Not sure why, but anyhow, regarding Rob and the notion of Gronk not lifting enough, you know, Fourier, I'm not going to totally disagree with him, but we don't really know what he does. I think he does lift. I don't know if he does squats, but his biggest problem is his short quickness. He's just not as quick as he was. It's not, which has nothing to do with lifting weights.
Well, there
has something to do with either been beaten up over time, or in a, most likely that plus the fact he's probably dealing with stuff right now, as we all know. But it's not to do with that he hasn't done enough weightlifting. That's just absurd.
Well, Bill, I normally would agree with you. I agree with
Glenn,
you.
I'm sorry.
Glenn. Sorry, I get the colors, man. I'm colorblind. But I would agree with you that it's a lot of this is quickness. A lot of this is him being beat up. But we also, part of this Gronk game that we're talking about, when he does get the ball, there hasn't been that power that we are used to. And I'm with you. I'm with you in that I can't just say, well, he's not benching, he's not squatting, so that's the reason why. But I'm just going off a guy who has played the game, who knows this. And also, if you listen to what Fourier said, he has it on good authority, according to Fourier, that he had trended more toward lifting this way instead of that way. I think that.
Where do you think Fourier is getting his information from?
Bill Belichick.
And Belichick has an incentive to cast doubt upon Alex Guerrero.
Yeah. Sure. I just don't think strength. I know everyone points to that play against Minnesota where he was pushed laterally.
Right.
I'm not going to use that as an indictment on his strength because last week when he was running forward, he bowled over two Steelers. So I just don't think strength is the issue. They use him on wham blocks. They use him as a – I think he's still blocking effectively. Just his quickness. He's just beat up. He can't get open. That's the major issue.
I agree going up against it. Right. And when I look at Gronk, I look at a guy who still seems like he's lifting weights. You think Gronk looks weak
I
to
think
you?
He's frail.
He looks frail.
He looks he basically looks like Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes.
Yes.
Looks like me out there.
You got to prioritize quickness and pliability. I'm not. This is the thing: is that people jump to these. It's either or. It's like the Josh Gordon conversation. Well, either it's complete. You have to talk completely about mental health, or you have to talk about football.
He chose weed over football.
Right. It's not that simple. And with this, notice how I integrate all the storylines into one.
That's why you're a professional journalist.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just that when Christian Fourier said that he is hearing that he prioritizing the Alex Guerrero, the TB12 way of lifting and preparing, and this is a tight end who says this other way is very, very important to succeeding in the NFL, then I'm going to listen to him. I'm not just going to discount it. I'm not going to discount it like Christian Fourier talking about the Rule 5 draft, about Gorky's Hernandez.
I'll listen to Fourier on Gorky's Hernandez because I think that's coming from a genuine place. On this, I think it comes from the Patriots camp. We know the Patriots and Belichick have an incentive to lambaste Alex Guerrero, and that's what I think it is. Because I don't see how Gronk could have worked under Guerrero last year and been so great, and now this year he's doing the same thing, and what, so he's not good, so it's because Guerrero? No, it's because he's hurt.
No, he did it more. You keep coming back to last year. He changed the way, according to Fourier, he changed the way that he prepared for the season.
I just think the guy is hurt, and this is what it is with Gronk, and this is what it always was going to be, and the end is coming to us. That's what I think. Can't argue against that.
So what's your, if you have to play out the Patriots' fortunes the rest of the way, the Alex Reimer prediction is what?
Right now?
Yes. No, tomorrow.
That's a Kirk trick. Trying to bite some time. Who are they playing in the divisional round? That's the question. After all this talk of me, you know what? I have to stick to my guns. Going off what I saw yesterday, they will lose against Baltimore in the divisional round at Gillette Stadium.
Okay.
Here. Yes.
Okay.
Whew, it feels good.
It does feel like a thing.
Cars, we see you there. We'll be right back. Reimer and Bradfoe in for Dale and Keefe.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
And Brady will give it to James White. White will get the first down and more. 15, 10, 5. Diving for the pylon. Touchdown.
You hear that, Rob? They give it to James White. Good things happen.
Good things happen. Yep. And you know what? We were saying, who can we have on the radio today on Christmas Eve that would best represent all the good in the Patriots yesterday?
It'd be James White.
Probably would be.
Yeah.
He'd be on my power rankings. Top five.
One of the best stories of the year.
No, I'm talking about yesterday.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh yeah, give it. Three up, three down. Here we go.
All due respect to James White, one of the best stories of the year.
For the Patriots, yes.
What are you talking about?
For the Patriots.
Whatever.
Who would you put above him? Who's been a better story?
Ryan Allen. Kyle Van Noy has been a better story. <Who's that? laughs> Man.
J.C. Jackson, there you go.
Oh, undrafted. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Although, I could have intercepted that ball yesterday.
But he has a lot of confidence. I've seen it in all the stories.
He's great in the red zone.
I was looking at the 2007 tight end draft, because on Christmas Eve, there's no better way to celebrate.
Rob, it's Patriots Monday across the WEI Sports Radio Network, and we are breaking down the Pats.
The birth of our Lord and Savior, yes, they would demand that I break. He would demand.
I'm ready for Pats draft breakdown. What do you got?
The 2007 draft for tight ends was believed to be one of the best tight end drafts of all time.
I remember it well, yeah.
Before the draft, not after the draft. So O.J. Howard, he was number one ranked.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's really where he's
been. Actually has. He's been decent.
The guy, Njoku from Cleveland. Great. Where did he go in the draft? I could look that up.
David Njoku.
Yes, and Evan Engram. He's also been very good.
He's been good as well.
So there were some guys that could have been heir apparents.
Well, you talk about the lack of receiving options on offense. The blame for that falls primarily on Bill Belichick, who has not drafted a receiver and developed a receiver since Deion Branch.
Oh, yeah, but flawed argument. Flawed argument.
No.
Because you developed Edelman.
Right, who was drafted as a quarterback in the seventh round.
Okay, if you want to letter the law, absolutely.
With details, sure.
Sure, if you want tricky facts. But you also,
is that a Bradfoe saying?
Yes, it
facts?
Is. Yes. Buck loves that. Yes. But you also have Brandon Cooks, who you traded a first round draft pick for.
True.
You made a first round draft pick into a very, very productive guy. Njoku was the first round 29th pick overall in the 2017 draft.
He's been great.
They did not, if you remember correctly, the Patriots, I don't believe, had a first round draft pick that year. And Derek Rivers was their first pick.
They did not make a pick until number 83. Derek Rivers.
So basically, Deflategate has cost them David Njoku.
I think Deflategate was 2016, right? They didn't have a first-round pick? Because last year, they traded, you mentioned, the first-round pick.
Oh, that's correct. So they chose to get Brandon Cooks, a wide receiver, over. I don't have a problem with that.
No, but then, and Kearns talked about this, the mismanagement with Brandon Cooks. So you get a second-rounder for Jimmy G. You were then forced to trade Cooks prior to the draft this year to get a first-rounder. Where if you wanted to best maximize Cooks for this year, you would have held on to him and had him play the year out, maybe trade him at the deadline, or hell, play the year out and get a draft pick, get a compensatory pick.
It really, for him. The backup plans to all of these guys, to all these main guys, it's we talk about Brady all the time. It is really uneasy. It is very, very uneasy.
Yeah. They're held together by bubble gum tape.
Bubble gum.
Going down the line.
When's the last time you held together anything with bubble gum?
Never. Isn't that what they say? You're held together by bubble gum and tape all that?
Sure.
Yes. But I think the drafting is an issue with this team when you look at the lack of options on offense. Their best draft, you look at first round picks, easily 2014, Malcolm Brown 2015. One of the Patriots' great draft picks over the last few years has been James White, who had another great game yesterday. What was that, Rob? Oh, go ahead. Okay. Well, James White is brought to us by Kaplansky. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was going to say fourth round. Great pick.
He was, yes.
130th overall.
A great fourth round pick. And James White is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. He joins us here on Dale and Keefe. James, it is Rob and Alex. How are you? Merry Christmas.
I'm doing great. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Doing well. So yesterday we saw all these tweets about you guys that were going crazy when the Eagles kicked their game-winning field goal against the Texans. That must have been a strange feeling, though, right, rooting for the Eagles after what happened last year?
I mean, it's a new year, and appreciate them for helping us out, but we still have to take care of business next week against the division opponent. Still got to go out there and play football, so it doesn't really matter unless we win next week.
So James, I heard your interview last week. You're excellent every week. We appreciate you coming on. And one of the topics of conversation was, why aren't we using James White more? Why aren't you more integrated in the game plan? So yesterday, running back heavy game. Did you know going into that game that you guys, that you and Burkhead and Sony Michel, you guys were going to be the focal point of the offense?
Oh, we always want to go out there and make an impact, no matter whether we're the focal point or not. I think the offensive line did a great job blocking the tight ends, James Devlin, the receivers. It just made it easy for us. And we just wanted to make the proper reads, run hard, and make explosive plays. So it was a total team effort, and everybody just did a great job blocking for us.
Yeah, the Bills, of course, have a great defense and great against the run. What specifically were you guys able to do yesterday that opened up all those holes?
Like I said, it's the offensive line playing tough and physical, and I mean, when you're having that much success running the football, it's hard for teams to stop you. Not many teams want to defend that many runs all game. So if you can get the run game going, it makes teams hard to stop.
And so when you're talking about the draft, so when you were drafted and coming out of Wisconsin, did you feel like, I am going to be a featured back? Back then, 2014, maybe there wasn't this idea of everyone, you have to have three or four backs and everyone's rotating in. When you went into that draft, did you say, I feel like I can be a featured back, a Saquon Barkley in the NFL?
Well, for me, I've always shared a backfield with a lot of talented running backs, so I'm definitely fine with being sharing the load. I think it keeps guys fresh, makes defense have to pay attention to who's in the football game, and keeps them off balance. So, I mean, I just do whatever it takes to help out some of the wins.
How do you think you guys look this December, James, comparison to the last few Decembers when you guys have gone in Super Bowl runs?
Repeat that question, sorry.
How do you think you look this December compared to how you guys have played at the end of the year in recent years?
Every year is different. Can't compare teams. Each team has their own identity. Obviously, we can continue to grow, and there's still have things to improve on. So we just want to keep improving, play better this last week, and going to the playoffs with a full head of steam.
You get all your Christmas shopping done?
Yeah, I've got it done for a while now.
Oh, for a while.
Yo, Ro, look at you.
The man plans ahead.
I was ahead of the curve this year.
The man plans ahead.
Online or in stores? Or?
Well, online.
Oh, there you go.
That's the way to do it.
You can't be. I mean,
it's easier that way, isn't it?
You
got to be ahead of the curve when you order online. So.
It's easier that way. It is. All right, James, thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, that was James White joining us here on Dale and Keefe. What was the biggest takeaway from the interview, Rob?
That he shops online.
Yes,
and that he
does.
Got all that's I've always wondered, the NFL players with all the time commitments that they have, when do they get their Christmas shopping done?
Yeah, well, Belichick said last week that he's a little behind because Christmas comes at a bad time, right in the middle of football season.
Oh, well, it does.
It does. And my favorite, if you heard that clip, was some hardo in the media goes, agreed. I'm like, shut up. What are you doing? Belichick's, Christmas. Always comes in the middle of football season.
Yeah, I have
tough time.
I have absolutely no time to do anything.
Somebody goes, agreed.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, takeaways, you're going to try real hard. They're gonna do their best.
Right.
You never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, maybe James White felt differently, it would have felt very odd for me to be cheering on the Eagles yesterday after the Super Bowl.
I know. Obviously, that was a priority. That was number one on your list.
That's what we call Rob loosen them up. It worked so well.
It really did. It was unbelievable. Was that number one on your list?
And that's number one for Trey Flowers, perhaps as well.
Maybe we should flip flop it. Maybe we should ask the Christmas shopping question first.
You're right, because I got a few laughs out of them.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you get to a point where you're like, I remember asking Logan Mankins that, and he's like, I bought a chainsaw. I'm like, who buys a chainsaw for Christmas?
Not me.
But that's the best you're gonna get. That's it. Well, what else? What's he gonna say? I mean, Tom Brady's knee hurt.
Well, I thought he was gonna say, I think we've played like garbage in comparison to a.
Last week's interview, which I listen to all the time, and they asked him the question of, do you think, something along the lines of, do you think that you've been used a lot? And it's like, I'm doing whatever I'm asked or something like that.
I thought he was going to say, no, I've not been used nearly enough. I want the ball more. So Josh McDaniels said last week about White, says we got to find a way to get him the ball more.
Honestly, can't they say we went into the Buffalo game and we knew we were gonna use these three guys, Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, you're all gonna have to step aside because these three guys are gonna be the most important. I was really psyched. I went to sleep that night knowing that I was gonna be a big part of that. Boom, 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 you're on your way.
Still look at White's usage yesterday. He carried the ball 8 times, I believe it was. I would have his targets up here, but my computer is not loading.
Here, 2 receptions, 1 touchdown, 41 yards. Run.
Only 2 receptions, though. Again, James White, still not as much of a focal point in the passing game this week as he was
5
earlier
receptions.
In the year.
The reason they asked him last week was because of the last series, and he was wide open those last 2 plays. But he had 5 receptions last week. He had 2 this week. He had only 2 against the Dolphins.
Yeah, but earlier in the year, 4 against Houston, 7 against Jacksonville. I mean, he was one of the focal points of this offense. 10 receptions in a game, as we know. Why was James White not more involved in the passing game yesterday?
Not that it's important, but we weren't going to get anything out of him anyway. But I honestly wonder about that. When a guy is like that, who's probably a star in high school, you know, I know he shared the load in Wisconsin, but still, you're going into the league. You have a lot of confidence. I am going to be a number one guy. 4th-round pick isn't like a 7th-round pick. 4th-round pick is still pretty valued. So
Trey Flowers is a 4th-round pick who we'll also have the pleasure of speaking with later on the show
good,
as well. Yes,
good.
2 of the Patriots' excellent. Greatest recent
picks. We got any other
4th-round
picks we can?
I'll try and scrounge some
Joe
up.
Joe Tooney?
Ninkovich was not a 4th-round pick, right? He was undrafted.
I think Randy Moss was traded for a 4th-round pick. Can we get Randy Moss on?
Yeah. Right. I'd love to speak to Randy Moss. Okay. Randy Moss, great. Talk about. He's a great guest.
Yes, there you go.
Love Randy Moss.
All right, we'll continue. We're 1-for-1.
We'll continue to Bradfo and Reamer on football next. Also, Rob Ninkovich joining us as well at noon. And your phone calls. It's Patriots Monday. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Welcome back here, Dale and Keith. Reamer, Bradfo, here until 2 o'clock at 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday, sifting through. I know, it's football music.
Nice.
It's a Patriots Monday. We got Rob Ninkovich on the line. Rob, how are you? It is Reamer and Bradford.
Hey, what's up? I'm good.
What's going on?
I couldn't believe it, Rob. So I was on with Diossi on Friday, and we were interviewing Devin McCourty, and I listen to you every single week. You're awesome on this program. I said, Rob Ninkovich said about rookies, that maybe they hit the wall. Maybe with the Patriot system, they have to think more. This is exactly what Devin McCourty said when I said that.
Well, first I will stop listening to Rob Ninkovich.
I couldn't believe he said that. What's going on?
Well, he's a buddy of mine, so, you know, Dev can say that, he can say that, and it doesn't bother me. Now, if I didn't know, if it was Jason, then I'd have to go knock on his door and what he talked about. I don't know you that well.
What'd you think of the team yesterday, Rob?
You know, I think they beat the Buffalo Bills.
They did, yes.
So, they should have beat the Buffalo Bills. If they didn't, it would have been the end of the world. So, you know, I think they played a team that... probably already had their bags packed to Aruba, and they're excited for their off season because their season's over. It was a good game for them to run the football. You know, work on that, their running scheme. for the playoffs. But, you know, when you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, I think offensive, you know, punching power, the Patriots don't have the punching power that some of these other teams have.
Right. I think that's the main issue, Rob. How about Brady? Do you think that he's hurt? What are you seeing from TB12?
You know, I don't know if he's hurt or if he's just getting older. You know, I mean, everyone seems to have this false sense of, you know, Tom's invincible, but he's 41 years old. He's playing a position where you get 300-pound guys landing on you, hitting you, you know, big guys all around you. So, I mean, it gets a little hairy in there. So I just think that we're seeing Tom, you know, slow down a little bit.
Yeah, but did you ever see Brady like yesterday? And I understand that, and I'm with you on that too. But I don't remember seeing a game like yesterday where he's not holding on the ball, not going through reads, and just dumping it down, and then bailing out as much as he did. That was something we talked about obviously the previous week as well. It just did not seem like a guy that I had seen in regards to Tom Brady in a long, long time, if ever.
I mean, I see a guy that just doesn't want to get hit. And when you are in a game where that's the name of the game, you're getting hit all the time, you know, I just think that it's that point of his career where he's like, all right, I need to get myself ready for the playoffs. I can't take unnecessary hits. In a game where they pretty much had that game handed, you know, in hand, they were going to be able to continue and win that football game. So I think he was trying to limit his times he was hitting the ground. So anytime you're 41 years old, the more times you get hit and the more times you hit the ground, the longer you're going to feel it. So if he can get out of a game with the least amount of hits and the least amount of contact, you know, that's going to help him in the playoffs.
Do you think he's doing that more often, though, Rob, the last few weeks bailing out of plays? Because we have these plays ingrained in our memories, the interception against the Steelers, the last throw to Edelman, a few throws yesterday, one to Gronk in particular sticks out to me. Are you seeing Brady bail out more over the last 3-4 weeks, or is this something you've been seeing all season?
No, I mean, I think he's been trying to avoid contact. And, you know, I think that's what happens when you get a little bit older. I mean, my last year playing, I didn't really stick my nose into things that I used to stick my nose into all the time. So, you know, I think that's just part of the game. As you get older, you start to realize your mortality, and you're like, okay, well, if I take 5 more hits this game, what am I going to feel like all week? You know, so I think Tommy Boy is going to be ready to go for the playoffs. You know, I think we'll see a different guy in the playoffs because he's going to have that extra week in the bye, and he'll be ready to go.
All right, Rob, so the other conversation, and if Brady had his normal game, this is probably what we'd be talking about, is Gronk. What did you see in Gronk? Because we have a million different theories on what's going on with him, whether it's the lifting or whether it's the injuries or whether it's his mental state, whatever it is. You watch him yesterday. What was your takeaway from him?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. Probably physical because of all the injuries that he's had, yes. Maybe a little bit mental because of the injuries that he's had and the toll it's taken on him, physically and mentally. There's a combination there. And, you know, he's played a lot of football, a lot of miles, you know, on him. So you buy a set of tires and they say they last 50,000 miles, well, he's probably at about 70, you know. So I just think that moving forward, he's still a great tight end. I think people have the misconception of Jill just because he's not 24, 25-year-old Rob Gronkowski, that he's not as productive, you know, for the team. But they wouldn't be able to run the football if they didn't have Rob out there the way that he blocks. And they wouldn't be able to do the certain things that they do on offense if Rob wasn't out there. So there's a lot of things that he brings to the table. He just necessarily isn't 25-year-old Gronk.
Do you think he plays in the NFL next year?
That's a tough one. I think that at this point he's going to take it year by year, and he's going to really think things through. And pain is a big thing. I mean, if you live with pain, it's a terrible thing to have to work through. And when you're running and cutting and getting hit by other people and getting your legs chopped out from underneath you, it's not fun. So, you know, Rob's made a lot of money. He's smart, you know, with his money. So he's made, you know, good investments. I would think that, you know, he'd want to save a little bit for down the road where he can do a lot of different things and not have to worry about being in pain a lot.
You mentioned Gronk's role in the run game, Rob. You know, a layman like myself will watch the game and see Gronk's only targeted three times, and we'll see his offensive production this year, obviously not what it was, and we go, oh, he's hurt. He's, you know, Rex Ryan goes, he's running with a piano on his back, lack of first, et cetera. But you bring up the point that he's still in there all the time. He's playing a huge role in the blocking game. So what do you think, then, is the explanation for Gronk's lack of production offensively in terms of pass catching? You know, someone like me goes, oh, he must be hurt, but do you think it's more than that? What do you think the crux of that is?
I think it's, you know, the combination of the things that he's dealt with in the past with injuries, and, you know, the first thing that you start to lose is your suddenness. And when I say suddenness, a little bit of your explosion. And as a tight end, when you're running a 10-yard out route or, you know, a go route, that burst that you have, I mean, that's what separates, that's what gives you your 2-yard advantage. And then he's got a wingspan where he can really catch anything that's around him. So I think you're just seeing defenders that used to be a step or two behind him on all his routes. They're just right there with him. And then you combine that with, you know, Tom not wanting to take some of those hits and getting the ball out of his hand quickly. It explains James White's season this year. You know, get it out quick, get it to James, get it to the flat. There's not many down the field deep passes unless they're, you know, two man routes with a play action and two overs that we saw like with the Steelers with Hogan. I was thinking Hayden on the interception, but you know, I think that's just the offense, and that's where they're at right now. They have to run the football. If they don't run the football, you know, they're not able to do their play-action game. So they're trying to set everything up through the running game.
You know, it's when we talk to active players, and I do this when I'm interviewing baseball players as well, they say, hey, how can you compare last year to this year, and how does it feel compared to other years going into the postseason? You almost always get the same answer, which is, it's so hard to compare years. But you know how, like, one year felt compared to another year at this time of year. So do you, with that in mind, do you get a sense that this is going to be a team that, you know what, like you said, we're saving our bullets and we're going to make a run because it's not a dominant team in the AFC? Or do you think this is trending in the way it did maybe in, what was it, 2009 or something like that?
2009, right.
Well, you know, I think there's a little bit of luck involved because, you know, they're playing the last couple of days, they played two hard games. You know, the Miami game they should have won. That's bad luck. You know, they go to Pittsburgh, they lose that game. You know, Steelers, they did what they had to do to win that game. And then the last two games, these are easy victories. They got to win these games. I mean, the Jets, you know, they're looking for the overall number one pick next year. So, you know, how much are they going to be really that competitive? They need to win these last two games. You know, it's not like they're in Seattle or they're in, you know, L.A. playing the Chargers for these regular season games here. You know, these games at the end, they're kind of, you know, two teams that aren't very good. So now that when they hit the playoffs, they're going to play teams that are good. They're going to play, you know, they're going to play the Ravens. If they did play the Ravens, I don't know if they necessarily want to play the Ravens right now. So, you know, I think that the competition becomes that much better when you hit the playoffs and you have to be at your best. So, you know, right now, I don't know if they're necessarily at their best. I mean, on offense, you can't really say they're at their best.
Last question for me, Rob. Last week on an NBC Sports Boston podcast, you were saying something about you don't know if the Patriots have enough leadership this year. What did you mean by that, and did their win against the Bills give you any greater insight?
No, I wasn't necessarily saying there isn't enough leadership. I was saying that the leadership that is in that room, in those locker rooms, in that locker room, trying to get the young guys to go, have played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. You know, they've played extra seasons in playoff games. I mean, if you think about that, when you play 3 years of playoff games, that's a lot of football.
Right.
And they go back. How many teams have gone back to back to back Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean, the Buffalo Bills.
One? Yeah, the Bills, right.
The Bills, when they lost three, which is you know, that's a nightmare to lose three Super Bowls. So I think there, it's just the reality of the fact that it takes a lot of mental toughness, leadership to get young guys that are rookies or young people that haven't played much football in the postseason to play at a high level in the playoffs and for the whole 16-game stretch, which is a very long season when some of these guys have only played eight, you know, if they're coming out of college. A lot more pressure, a lot more stress, not only on your body but mentally. And the guys that have done it for a long time have been stressed and are continually stressed mentally and physically as well. So when I was saying the leadership, I was saying it's tough to maintain for the long period of time that they've maintained. 10 years, I mean, think about that. 10 years they've won their division. I mean, that's like insane. So it's tough to stay hungry when you've won Super Bowls. You know, a lot of these guys are on their second contract, so they've got a good amount of money saved up, and now you're getting beat up, and you're 31, 32, 41 years old, you know?
Well, Rob, you have done a few things that neither one of us has ever done, played in the NFL being one, and interviewed Trey Flowers being the other. It's part of the regular interview with Trey Flowers. So I have a legitimate question. So we're talking about how should we lead into it. Should we go the route of have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done first, or should we go, hey, what was it like seeing the Eagles beat the Texans?
Texans cheering for the Eagles just so shortly.
What is going to get the best interview out of Trey Flowers? What's the best route to go?
Yeah, pump us up.
I'd start with it's Christmas Eve to get everything done.
You're right, Rob.
You know, your last shopping.
Yep.
That's that one, because you know he's probably not going to want to talk about any other team.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Well, I remember I was saying this to Alex. I remember doing that with Logan Mankins, and he said, "Yeah, I got a chainsaw. I got a chainsaw when I was 11 years old." I was like, "Huh?" So it's a good answer. There you go.
Trey, I saw him before the game. I was hoping he'd get two on him out there, two sacks. I'm trying to be nice for him to get the double digits, but you know, we'll see. He's got one more game.
Yeah, well, he has an opportunity to do that next week. All right, Rob. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, that was Rob Ninkovich joining us on the horn here, Dale and Keefe. I think the Eagles question is a very nice butter-up question. You guys lost them in gut-wrenching fashion.
Don't get defensive.
In the Super Bowl. Now you're cheering for them to get back in the number two seed. Wasn't that weird? I don't know.
Don't get defensive.
It was fun.
I mean, you just heard it from the guy who interviews him all the time. He's the player. He knows. He said you're not going to get an answer from him. You want to do that again?
Well, in my script, I'm asking the first questions, and I have the...
you want to keep going down that road?
Yes.
What's the definition of an insanity?
I've lived through that definition many, many times.
We'll keep doing it. We'll keep pounding that question to Trey Flowers.
Ooh, speaking of that, ready for this tease into a break? We'll keep pounding the Patriots. If the Patriots play like they did against the Bills, is this a team that you have any faith whatsoever in making a playoff run? Whether it's the first round against Baltimore or San Diego, whomever, can they win? I say no. Brad Foe, Pat Patriot Brad Foe, says yes. We'll do that next as well with your calls. Sports Radio WEEI.